You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I'm Andrew Berkshire, analyst with the Montreal Gazette, and I'm here with Mary Clark, as always, staff writer for the Win. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. We've got another show hit with our Crosscheck summer crossover going on. We've got Jess Belmesto from Locked On Flames coming on, and we've got Trey Matthews from Locked On Devils. But before we talk to them, we're going to talk about Joe Thornton, who signed with the Florida Panthers, which kind of took everybody off guard. And before we even get into any of the hockey talk, I got to ask, how was your weekend, Mary?
Oh, my weekend was good. It was actually quite busy. I actually did stuff this weekend, which was really cool. Not to say that I don't do stuff normally. But this weekend, I actually saw a few of my friends in person. We had a brunch at one of my friends' houses where we made food. It was originally supposed to be like an outdoor fire pit brunch because my friend has a fire pit. But it was so hot this weekend that we were like, oh, we're just gonna make food inside and sit inside. So we hung out. It was really nice to see them. So that was cool. I did that on Saturday. Then on Sunday, I went to my first sporting event since the pandemic started. I went to a Phillies game.
Oh,
and
nice.
boy, it was hot, Andrew. It was an afternoon game because I worked in the evening, so I could only do like an afternoon game. But it was hot. We're really coming out of here in Pennsylvania, we're coming out of a big heat wave. And yesterday it was supposed to be cloudy when we were there, but it was full sun. 80, like mid-80s, no breeze. It was hot. And the Phillies weren't doing well. I mean, they were doing, they basically, on the first batter of the game, Aaron allowed a home run. So that basically set the tone for the game. But I had a good time. It was great being with my family. Really cool being at a sporting event. Obviously, we had to leave earlier, but we got to see them rally a little bit, even though they eventually lost in the end. But it was cool being back at a sporting game. For the first time since the pandemic started. So I'm actually supposed to go to another Phillies game next week, and that's supposed to be a night game. So hopefully it will be cooler and we'll stay longer because I won't have to, leave for work. But it was fun. It was a very good weekend. I finally got to do some things that I haven't done in a very long time.
That's awesome. We did not have as great of a weekend. There was some behavioral issues on this side. Many temper tantrums.
No.
Everybody's tired. But daycare will take care of that now. It's not our problem right now. So
did you do anything for yourself, Andrew? Did you like watch a movie? Did you? I mean, I guess maybe we'll talk about it in the pop culture segment, but did you have time for yourself is what I'm asking.
I mean, when they go to bed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We watched Suicide Squad this weekend. So we're going to talk about that in the pop culture segment. But let's save that and we'll get into Joe Thornton signing with the Florida Panthers. I was pretty shocked because I don't know if I just thought it up in my head, but I thought he'd already signed again with the Maple Leafs. I think I was thinking of Jason Spezza. And
yeah, like, I mean, the Maple Leafs have a handful of those veteran guys. So
yeah.
I did think, too, that either he had signed or he was going to stay because he fits that mold so well of what they want there. But and apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he saw something in the Panthers. Like, I don't know for sure if the Leafs were actually interested in bringing Thornton back, because it didn't seem like it was that great of a fit overall during the regular season. Like, they took half the season to figure out where in the lineup he was going to fit, and he played well on their fourth line, but you don't really sign Joe Thornton to be a fourth liner either. Like, he can't really keep up with the fast guys in the top of the lineup, so it was a confusing situation. Clearly they enjoyed his leadership there, but overall, not the best situation. And maybe they did want him back, but maybe he just chose Florida. I mean, you look at where the tea leaves are going, like, Florida looks like a team on the rise right now, and the Maple Leafs kind of look stuck. So I understand that. And also, I mean, what senior citizen from Canada doesn't go down to Florida?
Yeah, it does feel almost like the... I want to say maybe a perfect fit, just like... what he can bring to the team. But before we forget the details, he signed on a one-year, is it league minimum? $750,000 deal? That's around league minimum, I think. So he signed that deal, I think late last week, right? Was it like Friday or something? So it was,
yeah, it was like this, Friday evening. It was like, yeah, this weird
news
time.
Is, yeah, this news is a couple days old now, but I think it was, I thought it was big enough to talk about just because, I mean, Joe Thornton is still a big name, in the NHL, even though obviously he is well past his prime. I think, he's one of those lovable NHL veterans that we want to see get a cup. I can't speak for you, Andrew, but that just feels like the sentiment around hockey fans. So he signed a 1-year $750,000 deal with the Panthers, and he said, I'm quoting from ESPN's article on it, "I see their team on paper. I watched their team last year. I love their team, and that's it. I love what they're building, and I'm excited to be a part of it, but everything is about ultimately winning the Stanley Cup, and the Panthers are right there, in my opinion." And he makes a good point, because also you mentioned it too, Andrew. They really feel like that they're starting to knock on the door, possibly. I guess we'll talk about later in this segment if we think that, you know, if we think that maybe his, them acquiring him will push them over the edge. But I think this is a really good fit for him, for the team. I mean, brings a veteran presence. I mean, it's Florida, even just the atmosphere of Florida. It's one of those things where, like, what he's in is, he's in his early 40s, right? So, you know, it's 42. One of the, yeah. So, which is wild. He's still around. He's entering his 24th season in the NHL, which is wild to think about. Joe Thornton's been playing in the NHL for, like, I've been alive for 4 more years. Like,
oh God.
Yeah, I know. I'm young, Andrew. I'm so sorry to, you know, mention that on the podcast again, but he's been playing almost as long as I've been alive, which is just wild to think about. So it is, I think this is a really good fit. I don't think it's going to turn the Panthers into a legitimate contender just with his presence, but I think this is a really fun fit. I really am looking forward to seeing what the Panthers do with like this year, and you know, hopefully they get Joe Thornton his first Stanley Cup. That would be a really cool story.
Yeah, it would be really cool. I do find it kind of funny that he went from the team with the longest first round or the second longest first round drought in terms of like getting past the first round to the team with the longest one. Like the Florida Panthers haven't won, as we talked with Armando Velez last week, the Florida Panthers have not won a first round series since 1996. That's basically a long time.
Basically as long as I've been alive. I mean, I was born in 93. Sorry to keep reminding you how old you are, Andrew, but yeah. Well, yeah. Right. So it's been a long time. So like I said, I'm really looking forward to this, but you did make a good point earlier about him having not a very good season with Toronto. Last year he had 5 goals and 15 assists in 44 games for the Maple Leafs. So obviously not impacting the game very much. But a lot of the stuff that I've read about him is he's a good character guy, mm-hmm. Like probably one of the better, like the best character guys. And like it or not, NHL teams really love that, you know, those glue guys, those, you know, veteran locker room presence guys. And I think Joe Thornton brings that in spades here, because there definitely is something to that for sure.
Yeah.
And obviously, it didn't help with the Maple Leafs because they had their own host of problems, but I think it could help the Panthers here.
Yeah. And the other thing to point out is that while Thornton's like offense has kind of gone out of his career, like he still has overall benefit. Like he's still a decent player. His overall impact last year with the Maple Leafs was still positive, surprisingly, and it wasn't like a dependent on teammates kind of thing. Like he does drive the puck the right way. He has a good defensive impact, even though he's quite slow. He just can't play big minutes anymore, and he's not gonna have a lot of finishing in his game. He just hasn't for years now. He can still move the puck, but he's not going to play with the top end players in order to create the assists that he used to create, right? It's been a few years since he's been able to do that. He just can't keep up. So like if you slot him in the right spot, man, if you've got some talented finishers in your bottom six, Joe Thornton could be a really nice little weapon. It's just like, are you going to count on him to be on the power play or to play on your top line? Then you're probably making a miscalculation. And I don't think the Florida Panthers are. And I think both the Panthers and Thornton in this situation have read the situation correctly. The most surprising thing to me, honestly, is that he's got no bonuses in his contract. According to Cap Friendly, it's just a straight $750,000 a year deal, no performance bonuses whatsoever, which might be a situation with the flat cap.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't get something in there, because usually players in that age range get something, right? Like even Jaromir Jagr, when he was signing into like his mid-40s, was getting like games played bonuses or like point percentage bonuses or making the playoff bonuses. There's always something in there. So Thornton just, he wants to play in Florida. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, I'm not going to count him out here, but this is probably his last ride, one would think. I mean,
maybe. I mean, never close the door.
Yeah, he's... I know. I mean, people have been saying that for a while, but I don't know. It's just a thought. I mean, he's only got, what, a handful of seasons left, if that. You know, if something catastrophic doesn't happen, because that's also on the table, but we don't want that to happen. It's just, you're right, that, like, it is interesting that he didn't get some sort of bonus in his contract. But I really think that this is probably one of those things where he wanted to play in Florida. He wanted this atmosphere. He really, like you said, he really liked the team composition. But as I said before, I don't think this pushes them over the edge. I think they were already really, really good to begin with, one of probably the top three teams in that division. I mean, we're going back to the regular, you know, divisions and conferences. So no more, you know, North Division, no more, you know, weird, wacky divisions and stuff like that. No conferences. We're back to our, you know, Atlantic Division with the Bruins, Sabres, Red Wings, Panthers, Canadiens, Senators, Lightning, and Maple Leafs. So I think we've talked before about how we thought that was maybe one of the strongest divisions, probably the strongest division. But there's room here, I think, for the Panthers to make noise, for sure.
Yeah, I think they're one of the top teams in that division, if not top two. I think you look at teams that are going to be competitive in there, just Toronto, Lightning. Boston, I think, is a question mark, and so is Montreal. Both those teams have lost some serious pieces in the last couple of years here. You know, Boston successively losing half their defensive core in 2020 and now in 2021, likely won't see Tuukka Rask. For most of the season, he's not signed. He's had, I believe, hip surgery, so there's no guarantee that he'll come back to the Bruins at all, but the speculation is that if he recovers nicely, he'll sign a contract heading into the playoffs. But, like, they lost Halak, too. The Boston Bruins are a different team than we've seen in a very long time. David Krejci retired to go back to the Czech League to play out in his home. It's a very different situation for them. They're still going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be top-end contenders. And I think Florida has the opportunity to move past some of those teams. And, you know, if Toronto continues to stand still, then Florida could overtake them. I think it's a really interesting time for the Panthers, and I'm absolutely rooting for them to get their first, at least out of the first round. I would love to see that. The fact is, we're talking about how old Joe Thornton is. He started his career with Boston as an 18-year-old in 1997-98. The Florida Panthers have not been out of the first round his entire career.
Yeah.
Man, that's nuts.
Absolutely wild. It's a great story. It really does make for a compelling story. And, I mean, not that it really matters because, you know, he only played 1 year with the Maple Leafs, but he's in the same division as them. So I definitely think, you know, I don't know how Maple Leafs fans feel about him other than, you know, he was, like I said, a good character dude, but there's probably some sort of, like, you know, I'm gonna show him type of attitude with Thornton, especially because, you know, with the Maple Leafs crashing and burning out of the playoffs every season. So that's definitely, I think, the one of the things I'm most interested in going into next year is the Panthers, just because they've really built something here, and I would really love to see, you know, how it ends up. They're definitely not the Stanley Cup favorites by any means, but they can make some noise. And when you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll probably wrap it there on Thornton. We got to talk to Jess Belmusto for Locked On Flames. And after that, we're going to talk to Trey Matthews. But first, we got to tell you about our sponsors. Rock Auto is here to take care of all of your vehicle needs. You got something that needs to be fixed? Check out rockauto.com. For all of the parts that you could ever imagine. You can price match. You can choose what kind of brand you would like for your parts. Things that you can't do at a brick and mortar store, because they only carry a few things. Their warehouse isn't big enough to carry all sorts of different brands that you can price compare. And also, there's no major markups at rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30 to 50 to 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. You can save money and time when you use rockauto.com because they have the same prices for do-it-yourselfers and professional mechanics. You don't have to pay those giant markups. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So it's not just about repairs, it's also maintenance. and every car needs maintenance about every 500 kilometers. Oh, no, sorry, every 5,000 kilometers. Getting a little bit ahead of myself. You do an oil change every 500 kilometers, you're going to be broke in a few months there. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I'm here with Jess. After you told me your last name on off recording, I messed it up immediately. And Andrew's not here to take any blame off of me, so it's just me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We're, you know, recording more of these interviews with the Locked On host, and you're the host of Locked On Flames, so it's great to get to talk to you. I don't really do much Flames content, or we haven't recently. I don't want to say because they're not relevant, but they could be relevant.
It's okay. You can say they're relevant.
But they could be relevant depending on what they do this off season. So I first want to ask you, so far, I mean, we're, you know, in the middle of August with everything going on. Who's in and who's out so far this off season?
Blake Coleman, Nikita Zadorov are in. Those are, and Dan Vladar from Boston, so they finally have a backup goalie. They're in, and then pretty much everyone else is out. Joachim Nordstrom, I think Josh Levo went elsewhere. Brett Ritchie's back. There's been a lot of shuffling that's just, I don't know what they're doing. I don't necessarily think any of the departures make them a better or worse team. I think that the additions help, but I don't think that it's enough.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of like shuffling like deck chairs, basically. You're not really like, I don't want to say on the Titanic, because I don't know if the Flames are necessarily sinking, but that kind of sounds like...
They haven't quite hit the iceberg yet, but they're heading for it.
Okay, that's kind of what it sounds like to me. But they did pick up Blake Coleman, who, you know, won back-to-back Stanley Cups with, you know, Tampa Bay. So there is, you know, I guess a Stanley Cup winning presence there. But how do you feel picking up somebody like that? Do you think he's going to move the needle at all for you guys? Is that, I guess, your biggest acquisition so far this offseason, would you say?
Yeah, I think that he's definitely like the biggest acquisition. And my hope is that he's going to come in here and they're going to look at him like a shiny new toy. They are going to say, this guy is a third line grinder. And he has a great on-ice presence. He seems to really be enjoying Calgary so far. His wife is posting all over Instagram, like, them as a family just completely enjoying it. So that makes me happy. But I think that the locker room needs someone like Blake Coleman, who's younger and has success under his belt. Because you have Lucic, who's won Stanley Cups before, and, you know, I don't necessarily think that they don't respect him, but it is a bit of a younger crew, so they want to see somebody who's won while they've been in the league, not 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, especially for a team like the Flames. But I guess, like, the big elephant in the room with the Flames is Johnny Gaudreau. He's kind of the will he, won't he stay. I'm a Flyers person, so it's always been rumored that local boy Johnny Gaudreau is going to come home. He's going to come home. Yep. I know that's a big wish for Flyers fans. So what's the temperature right now on Johnny Gaudreau? What's happening? Do you think he's going to stay? I mean, he still has 1 year left on his contract at $6.75 million. So he's at least there, but is he going to move, do you think?
So I kind of talked about this on the show today, well, Monday's episode, about how the Flames, they still need to court him and kind of entice him to re-sign. And I think anybody would be more than willing to have Johnny Gaudreau on their team. So, you know, I kind of compared it to Dougie Hamilton and just said, you know, if he gets a claim or an offer, rather, that says, you know, here's $8 million versus the Flames six, or I guess set, let's say 7.5, whatever. I think that he would be more than happy to leave Calgary. And I don't think that it's because he hates Calgary, like this weird narrative that's surrounding him. I don't think there's any truth to that. But if you want to win and, you know, actually have good line mates, then you're probably going to look to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Johnny Gaudreau is, you know, I guess the guy in Calgary, or do you think that they need to, you know, find somebody else to build around him? Do you think he's like a centerpiece for this team? I mean, he's been there for a long time, at least it seems like to me. I mean, he's not like super, super old yet, but like, do you like, I mean, he's 28, but
yeah,
do you
think that, 28. So
yeah. Do you think though, they need, if they're going to keep him on the roster, is he the centerpiece, or do they need to find somebody else that can complement or take over that centerpiece role from him?
They need to figure something out, because it would be an absolute shame for the Flames to move on from him. So I think the only way that they're going to be able to keep him is if they do build around him. They've tried, but they have not hit the nail on the head. They haven't really come close. I think that last year when Sean Monahan ended his season a little early, due to a groin injury, he was able to play with Elias Lindholm and Matthew Tkachuk. There was something attractive about that line and the chemistry that they had. So does Johnny finally make that top line jump and they kind of figure something else out with Sean Monahan? And, you know, I think there's a bigger question mark surrounding Sean Monahan's future. And not because, like, he's better than Gaudreau. I just think for injury reasons and things like that, like, people want to move on from him. So, you know, do you sell him low or do you hope he has a bounce back year?
No, that makes sense. So looking back to last year, the Flames finished fifth in the North Division out of the playoffs. How do you think these additions, also subtractions, are going to change your team moving into the next season? Do you think there'll be stylistic changes? Do you think that it's, you know, going to improve the team? Like you said, I mean, we mentioned that it doesn't seem you're mostly just shuffling deck chairs. But do you think that there are any improvements here that could have been made?
You know, I think that there's definitely a little bit of improvement. I don't necessarily think that the needle has been moved to where they're, you know, competing, if, say, if it was still the North Division. Like, they're not going to be competing with Toronto or Winnipeg. Winnipeg came in third. But I think that there would be a situation where they're more apt to slide into that fourth spot, kind of like how Montreal did at the very end. I'm hoping that Daryl Sutter is able to implement his system a little bit more with these players and additions and things like that, because if not, it's going to be a very long season.
Yeah, and we are, speaking of the season, we're going to be back to, you know, the regular 82-game schedule. We're going to be back to the same divisions. And Andrew and I have talked on the podcast how we think the Pacific, which is, you know, where mm-hmm. Calgary will be headed back to, will be probably the weakest division of the four. I mean, you've got the Vegas Golden Knights in the division, and they're going to be penciled into number one on everybody's list, I would assume. But you've got, you know, the three California teams, which have taken a slide. I mean, you've got Seattle, which is nobody really knows. People are marking them to not be contenders, not in the same way Vegas was, but they're kind of a wild card here. You've got Vancouver back. Where do you see the Flames slotting in? Like, what are your expectations for next season, especially considering they're going back to this division, which is probably considered the weakest of the four?
So last season, I said that they would be in second, and I laugh looking back at that. I think my expectations were way too high, and I wasn't giving the North Division enough credit. But I think the Pacific Division just doesn't, you know, we've seen their their ability on, obviously, like every year besides last year. So I think it's going to be a little bit easier for the Flames to compete and actually, you know, kind of seem fierce, maybe. But I would say that they're, I won't say guaranteed a playoff spot, but it's more likely than not.
Yeah,
that in would, my opinion.
That would make sense considering where they are. Like I said, where they are in the Pacific Division, they're probably one of those teams. I mean, like I said, they're not going to be penciled into the number one spot. That's Vegas. But I mean, even Edmonton, I have questions about. And there's a lot of like up in the air stuff about this division. And I could definitely see the Flames sneaking into it. What are you though looking forward to next season? I mean, we're in the middle of the doldrums. Before I let you go with this last question, what are you looking forward to most?
I am really looking forward to hopefully a bounce back season from Matthew Tkachuk, because, you know, he was coming off a concussion at the end of the playoffs last year in the bubble, and then kind of just had a really weird, streaky, inconsistent year. Almost all of his goals, or more than half of them, came in the last five games. So it was just like he kind of finally hit that stride, and then the season's over. But I'm really hoping that he bounces back. He finds his groove earlier than expected, or, you know, kind of maybe dust that chip off his shoulder. And maybe that young leadership with Blake Coleman will really help him. I think that there's a lot to look forward to with really Blake Coleman and Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, that's definitely a group I'm really looking forward to watching, because like I said, but Andrew and I haven't done a lot of Flames content, mostly because there haven't really been reasons for us to talk about them. But I'm hoping that, you know, with the stars that they do have on their team, we'll get to see more of them. So before I let you go, Jess, please plug your stuff, plug your Twitter, plug your pod, plug everything.
So you can find my show. I am on Locked On Flames, and I host the Locked On NHL show on Wednesday with Sarah Evampato of the Locked On Los Angeles Kings. And you can find me on Twitter at Jess Belmosto. A lot of good impulsive hockey takes as well as food takes. So
That's what we love to see. That is exactly what we love to see. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
And thank you so much.
Up next, we're going to have our next interview, so stay tuned for that.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. Covered in delicious chocolate and easy to chew, Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, and there's something for everyone. If you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're always passionate about their favorites. And if you don't know the flavors, well, here you go. They got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, or you're an adventurous person, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are they the best tasting, they're healthy too. Each bar contains 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, or LOCKED15, sorry, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com.
Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. I'm here with Mary Clark, my co-host, and also Trey Matthews from Locked On Devils. How's it going, Trey?
It's going well. I'm having a great time these last few weeks just covering the Devils, because this offseason has been very successful for them, and I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen during the course of this upcoming season.
Yeah, we're going to get into our usual, we have like some general questions that we're asking all the hosts to give everyone who listens to the Crosscheck NHL show a full outline of what every team is heading into next season with. But before I do that, I wanted to give you an opportunity to pimp your last episode there with Eddie Lack.
Okay, so yeah, I was able to speak to former NHL goalie Eddie the Stork Lack, and he's just a very interesting guy. Like, I hear he's a fan favorite out in Vancouver. He's big into tacos. He has his own real estate business now. He's just a very interesting player to interact with. And so just the fact to speak to him was just really, really cool. And yeah, just give that a listen if you haven't done so already. And even though his time with the New Jersey Devils was short, you know, he still – he's still a devil. Once a devil, always a devil.
Awesome. I forgot. Yeah, yeah, everyone make sure to check that out. Mary, what were you
saying? Oh, I was gonna say I forgot he was on the Devils. I mean, I remember him more vividly with, you know, Vancouver and stuff, but yeah, he always sparked me as a really interesting guy to talk to, and you know, his love of tacos it always came through. So yeah, I definitely gotta check that interview out. But you can continue on, Andrew. I just wanted to, you know, awesome, mention my love of Eddie Lack, because I remember him. He was always a fun dude to watch.
Yeah, he's a fun guy on Twitter, very honest and self-critical and self-deprecating. Seems like a really good guy. I know Roberto Luongo really loved him as well in Vancouver. But we got to get to the hockey stuff directly anyway. You mentioned how successful an offseason that's been for the New Jersey Devils. They made the biggest marquee UFA signing of any team in the NHL this year with Dougie Hamilton. But overall, Trey, can you outline for us who's in and who's out for this team?
Who's in and out for this team?
Yeah, yeah, based on compared to last year.
Okay, so obviously it was a bit of a struggle last year during the shortened season. We had to deal with a COVID outbreak that suspended our season for about 2 weeks. And then, you know, just a lot of inconsistency, just a lot of uncertainty, especially with the trade deadline, approaching. And we were just seeing a lot of people struggle. So we saw Cal Palmieri struggle. It took him a while to get his first goal of the year. There was a lot of question marks as to what Jack Hughes was going to do during his sophomore year. We had some surprises. Yanni Kuokkanen, he was a great facilitator. He was a great passer for the Devils. Igor Sharangovich, he was a big surprise. I think he was the biggest surprise on the team based on what I've been asking other Devils personalities as to who they thought was a huge upgrade for the Devils. And then Mackenzie Blackwood, he had to deal with injury. He had to deal with COVID. So we had to rely on third string goalies. We had to rely on Aaron Dell and Scott Wedgwood. And, you know, even though Scott Wedgwood did solid to begin his year, overall, he was just not ready to be a backup. So it was just an unprecedented situation for the Devils because Corey Crawford retired before the start of the season. So we lost our backup goaltender, and it was just a huge gap to fill in such little time. There were question marks as to what was going to happen to PK Subban, what was going to happen to our blue line, who was going to be a great defenseman for us. And Ty Smith became that person, all rookie team. And overall, just there's a lot of exciting pieces for the New Jersey Devils. And we got our guy in the draft. We got a few great free agents from a big name free agent, a good defenseman. We got a backup goalie, and we also got a top six player.
Yeah, I mean, a pretty complete overhaul in that respect. So heading into next season, obviously, because there's been a pretty big shakeup in terms of the roster, you know, Thomas Tatar is coming in there as a pretty interesting top six forward. Do you expect there to be a shift and change of play compared to last season? A little bit more of a Lindy Ruff run and gun style, or is it going to be more of a Devils identity?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to be a mixture of both because last year, our most consistent line was, as a fan told me, we called them the BMW line. So it was Bastion, McLeod, and Wood. So last year, they were our energy line. So Miles Wood, Mikey McLeod, and Nathan Bastion, that was our most consistent line, even though Bastion's no longer with us. He's going to be playing with Seattle Kraken this upcoming season. They were kind of playing the Devil style hockey, just grit, grind, and determination, great two-way play. So, you know, we saw that. But then for our top line of Jack Hughes, Yanni Kuokkanen, and Igor Sharangovich, we saw the run and gun style of Lindy Ruff. And that's why they were so good on the offensive end. That's why Igor Sharangovich was able to have a great year. That's why Jack Hughes was able to have a bounce back year. And that's why Yanni Kuokkanen turned a lot of heads as well. So I think we'll see a mixture of both this upcoming season. And I believe Lindy Ruff has a lot more to work with this upcoming season. So just overall looking at what we have right now, I definitely say we're a wild card team. It's just so hard to say we're a playoff team because we're just in such a hard division. So we just got to take our time. And, you know, we have Tatar signed to a couple years. We have Hamilton signed to 7 years. We have Bernier signed to a 2-year contract. So we got some time before we have to, you know, kick into high gear. But I think we're heading in the right direction. Also, our first overall selection in this year's NHL draft, Luke Hughes. I think it's going to be a while before he plays for the New Jersey Devils. I think he has his eyes set on playing for the University of Michigan for a couple years. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens in that regard.
And that makes sense. And that kind of was where I was going with my next question, like expectations for this season. But because you've already answered that so completely there, Trey, let's switch gears a little bit and move from this season and say, what do you think is the timeline for this New Jersey Devils team to become a high-end competitor?
Well, with Dougie Hamilton, you have some time. That, and normally I'm not the biggest fan of long-term contracts. But anyone on my show can tell you that I'm really against like 7-year deals or so, or, you know, Seth Jones signing that long-term deal with the Chicago Blackhawks just recently. It's just because sometimes if it doesn't pan out, you can really be put into a situation because you can't really trade them. You certainly can't release them. And it's just sometimes it can be a bad long-term investment, especially because Dougie Hamilton, he's in his late 20s right now. So is he going to be the same player in his mid 30s? As he was in his late 20s, I don't really know, but I can kind of understand in this regard. So Dougie Hamilton, to answer your question, kind of is the X factor in terms of the length of time that the New Jersey Devils have. They don't have to do it this season, but next season, I fully expect them. They have to go to another level because Tomas Tatar, as I mentioned, 2-year deal. Jonathan Bernier, 2-year deal, as I mentioned. Jack Hughes has some question marks. There's going to be a lot of I think restricted free agents. I believe Miles Wood will be also restricted free agent this upcoming year. I think Zaka as well. I don't know off the top of my head. I can't confirm or deny that, but you know, Lindy Ruff, I think his contract is, don't quote me on this, is about 3 years. So the time window for the Devils to capitalize, if not this season, certainly next season, because we need to show like upcoming free agents that, you know, we are a up and coming team. And I think I forget which free agent said this, but I think it was Tomas Tatar. He said he wanted to be a part of something special. So overall, I'm just really looking forward to see what the Devils can do this season. I think they'll take a huge step forward. Also, another upcoming free agent is PK Subban. I'm willing to bring him back onto the team for a much cheaper deal. So overall, for the Devils, I'd say if not this year, certainly next season.
Very interesting. All right, Trey, before we let you go, tell us what you got going on. What are the plans for Locked On Devils heading into the summer?
Where do I start? Well, you know, I had to take a bit of a break because I was on vacation back in late July and start August. So a little behind in my episodes right now, but, you know, I have a lot of crossovers. I had some special guests. I had Corey Massasak from The Athletic appear onto my show. I had Eddie Lack, obviously, appear onto my show. I'm trying to work things out and get some other big name players. Won't reveal who because I can't confirm nor deny that, but just know I have some stuff in the works to try to make it up for some episodes I missed. I couldn't post a new episode today because I just got back from Indianapolis. I was watching the race events over the weekend. So just keep in mind, usually when I miss an episode, usually I make it up somehow in a big way.
Awesome. Thanks so much for doing this, Trey. We'll try to get you on again during the season.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for talking to me.
Our pleasure. And have a good one, man. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Maybe just don't bet on the Phillies, right, Mary? Promo code locked on. All right, so my shot at the Phillies, that notwithstanding.
That was harsh, Andrew.
I'm just going by what you've been telling me. That's okay,
they had an 8-game winning streak earlier. They're not terrible. They just inconsistent.
Well, you don't want to bet on an inconsistent team either, right? I guess
that makes sense. But that was such a hard shot for no real reason. Jeez, that came out of nowhere. I was just sitting here minding my own business while you were doing the ad reads. And man, I just, Ouch, that really hurts, Andrew. I'm disappointed.
Listen, gotta get him while I can.
All right, fine.
All right, so our pop culture roulette segment is next. Before I go into it, I just found out, this is like a side story, Mary. A person that I grew up with, who went to high school with me, has been I guess it wouldn't translate to you in the States, but it's a member of the Legislative Assembly, essentially like a state congressman up here for Alberta, where I grew up in Fort McMurray. And she runs for like the UCP, or United Conservative Party, which is the hardcore right wing, like Tea Party Republican style garbage in Alberta. And she's moving from that, which is provincial politics, into federal politics this election. And I can't help but laugh seeing this person who I know running for these parties who suck, because growing up with her, she was an absolute compulsive liar. Like, could not help but lie. Like, I feel like it's an actual real issue that she has, that she lies about everything. She used to tell us stories like her grandmother was on the Titanic, and when it crashed against the iceberg, she jumped off and swam back home to Newfoundland. And we were like, pretty sure it was like winter in the ocean. You're not swimming back to Newfoundland. Like,
if
I know
Leonardo DiCaprio couldn't survive.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, she didn't even have a door.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it was stuff like that, or like, oh, I went out for to catch the bus on the way to school, and I opened my umbrella, and the wind picked me up and carried me onto the roof, like she's Mary fucking Poppins. Sorry, I know I'm not supposed to swear. And she was like, but it was okay, I had my lunch. Like, this person is having success with the conservatives. Of course she is. Of course she is. But anyway, pop culture. You said that you didn't have a lot of time to enjoy some pop culture this weekend, but you did watch an hour-long video about the Cats movie from 2019.
Yes.
Was it about the butthole cut?
No. Okay. So, the past couple of days, I've gone deep on this guy's channel. This is on YouTube. This is a guy called Sideways. You may or may not have heard of him before, but he does like a bunch of like music analysis, like movie music analysis, just I'm really deep into like the movie music analysis stuff. And he had an hour long video on why the music in Cats 2019 is worse than you thought. That's the title of the thing. And it was fantastic. I have never seen the movie Cats. And I'd seen the musical growing up, but I didn't really, it's one of those musicals that's kind of difficult to understand, because there's no real plot other than it's cats singing about themselves and they all kind of want to go to heaven, like cat heaven. That's very bare bones. But this video made me actually appreciate the musical more, because there's more depth to it than I thought. So that was really cool. And just the way this guy talks about things, he's so passionate about it and gets so upset. Just because they're, you know, I like, there's like a comment on here. It's like, I've never seen the Cats musical, but I'm upset now about how Cats the movie ruined the integrity of this musical. And I'm like, that's exactly how I feel. It was, this dude's passion was incredible for it. I definitely recommend you watching it, because the way he explains things is so great, but it's so entertaining. And he's had other, you know, videos too that I recommend. Stuff like, you know, why the music in the Disney live action film sounds so bad. He takes shots at the Les Mis movie, which I kind of like, but I completely understand where he's coming from here. Stuff about, you know, the Spider-Verse soundtrack, auto-tune, you know, why trailer music tricks you. There's like a lot of really cool videos in here. I've been going on like a deep dive into his videos, and they're fantastic. I just, like I said, I don't really like... I like music, and I like music in movies and video games, and musicals too. So he's got a lot of like musical things, but I don't know like all the technical aspects of it. And you know, when he explains it, sometimes it goes over my head, but I'm like, okay, I understand what you're talking about here. And it's all about those leitmotifs. Just chef's kiss. Gotta love a leitmotif. And definitely recommend if you're just, you know, trying to waste time, and, you know, want something to watch, like, if you don't have, like, a movie or TV show to watch, just, you know, pull up his channel, because that's been, like, my big thing the past couple of days, has been really diving deep into this guy's channel, because there's some really cool stuff in here, and I've learned just a lot about, you know, movie music, and some musicals, and just random stuff. It's great.
Video essays on movies are so great.
Yeah.
It's such a good little industry on YouTube. I love watching that stuff. It's super fun. I actually watched, before I go into mine, I watched a I got acquainted with some YouTube channel called The Charismatic Voice, and it's an opera singer and voice coach that goes over like different songs that people had recommended to her and talks about like what they did well or what was challenging about it and how they moved to different vocal ranges. And the video that I saw first of theirs was Johnny Cash's Hurt, his cover of the Nine Inch Nails song. And you could tell like the way that she reacts is just so raw emotionally to everything. Like she just takes in, she loves music so much. And she was just like bawling listening to this song. And I was like, yeah, that song is fantastic. Like Johnny Cash just absolutely crushed it. And she was talking about how like in that video, it's essentially him showing you that he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And like the end of his life. And when he closes the piano, that's like him accepting his death at the end of the music video, which was, it's just an incredible analysis. And just the brilliance of that music video is, and that song in general, was astonishing. So that was really fun. But also I watched with my wife, Suicide Squad, the new James Gunn movie that is the sequel slash reboot slash they don't want to define it of one of the worst movies I've ever seen, which was the original WB version of the Suicide Squad that went through like three directors and four different editing teams and was just a very long trailer. This movie's a lot better. It helps when you have one person in charge that can give you a through line of the story and the emotional arc. I really liked this movie. It was really fun. Extremely gory, which is not really my thing, but also like it fits the format of the Suicide Squad, right? They're people whose lives are supposed to be, they don't care about them. They'll kill them at a drop of a hat, sorry. And the star to me was King Shark, who is the best character in DC now, because he reminds me of Miles.
Okay.
He's just a big, chunky, dumb guy who's really strong and doesn't know why he's so strong. It is really, really endearing. Like, it's shockingly good.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I've heard. I really don't have much of an interest in DC's, superhero movies. I know this is not a superhero movie, but, all right, that's really interesting. The cast intrigued me, partly because Peter Capaldi of Doctor Who fame was in this film. And I was like, oh, I really like him. So maybe I'll check it out because, like I said, the cast seems really cool. And I've heard from other people, not just you, that like actually it was quite good. So maybe that's something I'll watch down the line. Where'd you watch it?
I may have downloaded it.
Okay.
Because it's streaming on like HBO Max, but we don't get that in Canada, right? So I was just like, I'll download it.
All right. I have HBO Max thanks to my parents. So that might be something I pull up later down the line.
Yeah, it's a good 2 hour like break from thinking. It's a really fun movie. It fully embraces the absurdity of it all. It's just fun. And to like the different character ranges, I think that Margot Robbie gets a lot of praise for her Harley Quinn, and it's not her fault. I don't really love the way Harley is portrayed overall in the DC movies as like she's just very much a ditz when she's supposed to be like she's a PhD psychiatrist, like a clinical psychiatrist. And like the reason she is like an interesting character is that despite the fact that she's so intelligent, she was still broken and manipulated by the Joker, right? So it's like her breaking out of that is interesting, but they continue to kind of play her as dumb, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. Whereas like she kind of uses her her like seeming dumb because of her towny Southie accent to her advantage a lot in different forms of media. So like she's a great manipulator as well, just like the Joker is. She's supposed to be really smart, and they kind of lean into her being like a physical savant more than a mental one, and that's fine. It's just not my favorite take, but Margot Robbie does crush it in what they've given her.
Yeah. Like I said, I've never seen any of the DC films. My sister really likes Birds of Prey. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I think because she likes the soundtrack to that movie is why she liked it so much. So that's probably why. I'll have to ask her again. But like I said, I'm not really into the DC verse as much. I was more into the TV shows. But then that got to be too long for me to handle because I had to watch every episode every week because then they crossed over with one another. And I was just like, I have too much going on in my life. I can't do this. I can't do a couple hours of my night every night to dedicate to this. But yeah, that's really cool. I'm definitely going to put it on my list then, because that really intrigues me with all the, positive you know, talk it's been getting.
Yeah, plus there's a giant starfish, so.
Ooh, that's cool.
it's a pretty fun movie. But yeah, that's all we have for you today on the Crosscheck NHL show. We can't wait to talk to you later again in the week on Thursday. We really enjoyed having on Jess and Trey for Locked On Devils and Locked On Flames. Make sure that you follow those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts if you're interested in hearing about those teams. And before we let you go, we got to talk to you about Locked On Bets. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicap expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, and wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.